it is gone. A two-run home run for Rhys Hoskins into the second deck for Bryce Harper. Swing and a miss. He got him. And Aaron Nola leads two. Segura on the run. Reaches up and makes the grab.
Swing and a miss. Struck him out.
Now batting for the Phillies, John Stolness.
Hey there, podcast pals, and welcome back to another edition of Hittin' Season. This is episode number 325. I'm John Stolness from SB Nation's Phillies blog, The Good Fight. You can follow me on Twitter at John Stolness. Coming up, we enter Kapler Watch Week 2, and Cape Kapler is still a member of the Philadelphia Phillies as we enter the second week of this. And joining me to talk about the fact that we still have not heard a damn thing from the Philadelphia Phillies regarding the future of Gabe Kapler is Justin Clue from Baseball Prospectus and Fangraphs. You can follow him on Twitter at Justin_Clue. Justin, I almost went ahead and called you the head guy at the Good Fight, and I had to stop myself because that ain't your job no more.
You ran through that without even hitting a speed bump. So that was another seamless
That's part training,
of
my friend. Yes.
Yeah, I just want to say real quick as my little opening note that the Washington Nationals played a playoff game tonight, and there's always been a source of debate over the fans' ability to fill a stadium. And by the third inning, there were huge, huge sections in the upper levels just completely uninhabited, according to a photo tweeted out by an sports writer. And you know, hey, look, I'll grant you that it was raining. There was some kind of disaster on the metro. There was, you know, it's a weeknight. It was a late finish, I think, the other night. I mean, I get it, but like, is it still wrong that not every seat in that stadium is full for a playoff run? I mean, that leaves me continuously mystified. This isn't just like down the stretch, you know. This isn't like them, we're trying to get in the playoffs and fans aren't coming. Well, it's still regular season, so okay, whatever. But like, this is the playoffs.
Yeah.
And they can't fill the stadium to capacity. I mean, wasn't the Coliseum, like, that's the biggest stadium in baseball, right? The biggest capacity, and they were full for the wild card game.
Like, Los Angeles is always sold out, and they had, it's what, 60,000 seats in there, and there's like no public transit to speak of, and everyone drives, and it's a nightmare to get in and out of that stadium. It's a nightmare to get anywhere in Los Angeles. Like, the Trop had 32,000 people in it the other night. 32, oh, that's not a sellout because they increased capacity in the upper levels, but
right,
like, that's overwhelming.
Well, go ahead, Justin.
It seems remarkable to me. You can't have a full stadium for a playoff game, but like, look, there'll be every reason in the world to excuse people for that. Whatever. It was just more that I saw people trying, like Nationals fans trying to reverse that and say like, oh, it's actually a testament to the fandom that 36,000 people came out.
Despite
these issues.
No, listen, there are some hardcore Nats fans. My little buddy, my oldest is a hardcore Nats fan. There's lots of them out there, but I was in a meeting with my two bosses at work, and they're big baseball guys. They're big Phillies fans. They're from the Philly area. But my one boss went to one of the Nationals playoff games. I think he went to the wild card game or whatever, and he goes to a lot of games. So he gets emails every time the club is letting people know that there's tickets available, and they sent out an email today basically making everyone aware that there were plenty of tickets available for tonight's game. So it was before the Metro crash. Tonight's attendance didn't have anything to do with the Metro crash. You went on StubHub. There were club box seats for like $65 and $70 a piece available, which for club box seats is a very reasonable price for a regular season game, let alone a postseason game. So this wasn't a matter of, you know, there was a big accident on the Metro and people couldn't make it. This was a whole thing about people, this game just didn't sell out.
Do you think they won the wild card game and people were like, great, we won a series, I'm checking out? And
then, I don't know.
And they could have been eliminated today. They could have been eliminated tonight. Maybe people didn't want to. There's something to be said about how many games they've lost in elimination games and the series they haven't won. You know, there's something to be said for that. But also, I literally can't imagine that happening in Philadelphia.
Oh no, not a chance. I mean, Max Scherzer on the mound in Game Four of a division series. You haven't been to the playoffs in a couple years. I mean, that's if this was Philadelphia, that place would be crawling with people.
They would
have
been just... people. Not everyone can come. Can some people not come tonight, right. Please?
It's like asking.
I mean, and now there's Xfinity Live across the street. Mm-hmm. You know, they put, you know, those hoods or whatever they are over Lot K, the tailgate lot. You know,
yep. I'm sorry, but it's a school night.
No,
that's
no,
I know we don't curse. I know we don't curse on this that's podcast, right. But go you ahead. You just took the profanity right out of my mouth. Liz.
Sorry,
let it rock. That's
it's
fine.
It's a school night. No. It's so like, you know what has always been during the playoffs? School.
School.
Always.
Yeah. School has. They have always had school during the playoffs. It's in freaking-tober. I mean, that's the whole point. They don't stop school in cities where the playoffs are being
like,
played.
I don't want to hear any more from fans, you know, complaining about Major League Baseball not having as many, you know, enough playoff games in the afternoons and not having them on weekends. Like, they have to get these games in sometime. Like, yeah. People are going to, like, teams are going to get screwed. The Astros and, the Yankees maybe are both kind of getting screwed by the schedule. The Brewers might have if they had made it. Like, playoffs are tough. You play a lot of games in a short amount of time, and it's just the way it is.
And frankly, 6:40 in the evening is a perfect time to take a kid to a baseball game because you get home at a reasonable hour. Not reason. I mean, you're getting home at 11 o'clock on a school night. But you know what? Maybe you don't send the kid into school the next day. It's okay.
Yeah, you know what?
Or send the kid to school because he got to go to a playoff game.
Right.
That's
exactly.
Tired.
Part of this experience is being kind of tired or extremely hungover the next day, as we all learned for 5 years.
Well, you shouldn't let your kid get hungover, Justin. I'm going to just be against that. Just
well, you parent the way you parent, and I'll parent the way I parent. How about that?
That's fine. By the way, that other voice you're hearing is the great Liz Roscher, fantastic sports writer for Yahoo Sports. You can follow her on Twitter at Liz Roscher. Hi, Liz.
Hello, John and Justin.
Hey.
So let's talk about the Phillies. We're going to get into some more of the.
We have to. We were having so much fun.
Yeah, well, we'll circle back to the playoffs in just a few minutes because we are going to talk about the Major League Baseball postseason, and there were four games here on Monday as we're recording this, and we recorded on Monday instead of Sunday night because we thought, hey, you know, maybe on Monday the Phillies might decide to stumble out of their cave and make some kind of an announcement about Gabe Kapler, you know, the Phillies manager who's under fire, and we keep hearing over and over again the fact that, you know, they're considering whether or not to keep him. I mean, have you guys heard anything about that?
I have something to say here. I realize the reaction to this has been entirely and deservedly negative, but nothing's going to change between firing Gabe Kapler, if they're going to fire him, next week versus this week. And frankly, when John Middleton stepped out of the shadows or whatever and like decided he was going to be a more aggressive and, you know, give people more face time as an owner, the comparison people were making because of all the billions he was supposed to have at his disposal and the team was supposed to have at his disposal to buy all these superstars was obviously Steinbrenner.
Yeah.
And Steinbrenner wasn't really known for making long thought out decisions or weighing other people's opinions when he made them. He made a lot of impulsive or in some cases inadvised decisions.
He fired the same manager like 3 times.
Yeah,
once in the press conference where he was hiring him. Like, so, you know, maybe there's something to be said if what's really going on is a calculated, long weighing everyone's opinions who works in and around the Phillies. From the ballpark, from the hot dog vendors to the janitorial staff to the bench players to Bryce Harper. I mean, maybe there's something to be said that he's really taken that all in before he makes a decision rather than just being like, the fans don't like Gabe, get him out of here. Because if you're really going to let the fans dictate the decisions moving forward, this team's even more screwed than it is now.
So much so.
No, that's true. I don't want what Middleton is deciding to be based on what the fans want. It's just, to me, very interesting that it's taking so long, the deliberations. What more he needs to see and hear about? I mean, they've been talking about this since August when they fired John Mailey. And we sit here now. Every other baseball team that's going to make a managerial change has already made the decision to move on from their manager. And the Phillies apparently... I just don't know what, like, if John Middleton is hearing from Gabe Kapler and his other baseball people that they think, from Matt Klentak, that Gabe Kapler should be the manager. And he's still, from the reports we're hearing now today, is that he's flying around to the country talking to other players, and he's talking to players who are in town. And
I mean, this is so, despite what I just said, this is so extra. This is extra.
It's so dramatic.
Jetting around, wasting our free agent dollars on jet fuel so we can fly from Andrew Knapp's house to JT Realmuto's house. Come on, man.
Yeah, Andrew Knapp's getting a stop.
You gotta pay for Garrett Cole.
I mean, I feel like he's looking for a reason. I feel like he doesn't think his feelings are enough to do it. Because if he's hearing that, because Klentak obviously wants to keep him, the two of them are now, you know, and if he ends up keeping Kapler, the two of them are now hitched together. I don't see how the two of them aren't hitched together for the rest of their career here. Like, the success of one is, this, you know, they both have to succeed or they'll both be fired. But I think that Middleton is looking for, he's got to be looking for a reason not to keep him or to keep him. You know, if he's hearing from Klentak that, you know, we should keep him, he was my choice, what more is there? Why is he doing this?
Yeah.
What else does he need to hear? What does he want to know? Because if he's hearing, let's keep him, from the dude, you know, he put in charge of the, all of baseball operations, then it's really puzzling what he wants to hear. I don't get it. Is he looking for a reason to fire him? Because the players aren't going to give him that.
Yeah, if his players go to bat for him and Kapler stays, it seems, as it's kind of seems with each passing day, is more and more likely that will. Then we kind of have to address that there's a chance Kapler provides value in that locker room that we as people far, far away just don't see.
Mm-hmm.
For large chunks of time when players and other insiders' insights aren't available, you know, to us, all we have is our own opinions based on someone's public image. And I know on this podcast, we're kind of leaning away from Gabe Kapler pretty heavily, but if he's back, it's because more than one person wanted him to be. So I think the reality of him being fired was a real threat, but he's got enough friends in there that they're considering bringing him back, at least considering it. So I don't think that necessarily makes him the right man for the job. I don't think that doesn't really change the things we don't like about his past. It just means that despite what we've seen from the outside, he's doing at least one thing right, or at least right enough. Because personally, that doesn't change my view a whole lot. For me, it still comes down to, as a fan and a frequent watcher and a season-long follower, I don't see what is valuable about Gabe Kapler that you can't get from somebody with more and decidedly better big league experience. I don't see what is so special about him as a manager that makes him worth all this, frankly. It seems that some people do. And those people get to make decisions that I don't, and the opinions they have might be developed in situations we'll never know about. So, you know, everything we've seen, if it is left up to the players, everything we've seen indicates that they will support him. Like, their quotes at the end of the season were largely in favor, it seemed like. So,
yeah, especially JT Realmuto. Mm-hmm, I mean, I think he said, like,
who
I expect to see him back
a
here.
Leader.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not. This is one of the guys you want that we expect for them to re-sign and have for a long time. And so, yeah, I agree with you guys. I think it certainly feels like they're. I think, Liz, you kind of hit on this a little bit. I think they're looking for a reason to keep him. I think John Middleton is looking for reasons to keep Gabe Kapler. And so the question then becomes, because I feel like it's really hard to keep him the longer this goes on, because it's clear that there has been this investigation going on where they're asking the question, is Gabe Kapler the right guy for us? And John Middleton is clearly not listening to his general manager solely. I mean,
or he doesn't believe him. He just, he disagrees.
Well, maybe if he disagrees, I think a decision would have been made already here. But my question is,
I don't think so.
It wasn't Matt Klentak's opinion alone that was good enough. Like, his baseball people, are there other baseball people in the organization telling him that he needs to look around? I mean, I just don't know. I wish we had a head count. You know what I mean? Like, we could whip this like a congressional piece of legislation and find out who's in favor, who's not in favor, because the inner workings here on the inside of this team, it's so murky and so cloudy, it's impossible to really know what's going on. I feel like Middleton's looking for a reason that he can sell to the fan base to keep him right now.
I think that's definitely what's going on, because as we're sitting, as you said that, John, about getting a head count, I'm just thinking in my head, like, who do I think isn't up for having Kapler back? Who wouldn't be in his corner right now? And it's kind of hard to think of a particular person, yeah. But they did fire the pitching coach,
which we're going to talk about. Yeah.
That's a form of appeasement. And I mean, so honestly, to see Salisbury, Jim Salisbury wrote one of the pieces on this about like what's going on and what it could mean, and it pretty much confirmed the dynamics between leadership roles in the Phillies organization, which we've kind of guessed was going on, so it's kind of a nice validation. But one thing to correct, which he did, is that Middleton, like I said, he's not impulsive even when he's upset, so he's taking this decision as seriously as it should be taken, because, you know, guess what, firing the manager doesn't fix this team. Firing the GM doesn't fix this team. That doesn't mean it's the wrong move, but it's a restructuring of this hierarchy that was supposed to lead the Phillies into the next chapter of glory. We thought this step was done. Now he's got to go back and rethink the managerial hire, and because he's got to rethink that, he's got to reevaluate the hiring of the guy who hired the manager. So the whole thing is not great. It's kind of more than just the one decision.
So I have a crackpot theory. I have a shocking number of crackpot theories about all of this. I will share the one that makes the most sense, which says a lot about all of the others. What if Middleton is traveling to talk to the players to get evidence to show to the fan base when they keep him? The players want this. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think that's what he's doing.
I don't think that's going to help.
I don't think it's going to help either, but yeah. I think he's hoping it might. He's just like, listen, these players that you love that I've paid a lot of money for want this weird, shiny man to stay.
Or maybe
we're
going to
give
him
another chance.
Maybe it's more like, hey, I wanted to, but the players were very adamant.
Right. But I mean, here's the thing, too, and you guys know this. Players, Gabe Kapler, from everything, I mean, and the Jim Salisbury podcasts have been illuminative when he talks about how the locker room has basically just kind of run itself and there hasn't really been a boss in there. And that I really do think the more I have thought about last season and this season, there has been a serious lack of urgency among the players. And, you know, when things are kind of going a little bit rough, it doesn't seem like anybody is really ready to rally until it's too late in the season. You know, I mean, we just kept hearing all season long, there's plenty of time, until there wasn't, until it was September, when you're playing every game on the road against a 500 team, and it's impossible to go on a winning streak at that point. And so
the clock really ticked down fast, didn't it?
It ticks down fast. And you know, it sounds like from everything Salisbury is saying, the locker room is just kind of a leadershipless place. You know, there's no one there who's a boss, and there needs to be a boss in there. And, you know,
that's
so
what
does
manager's
that
you're supposed to do.
Right. And he's not doing it. And so that's the thing, is like, well, yeah, of course the players are going to like a manager who lets them police themselves. Of course they're going to like a manager that doesn't require anything of them, that doesn't hold them to any standards or something like that. You know, and I'm not saying that Kapler doesn't hold them to any standards, but it's not the same as a manager, maybe say like Buck Showalter, who might be a little bit more of a hard ass. And maybe Buck Showalter's not the right manager for this team, but there needs to be, you know, I just think if you're thinking about removing Gabe Kapler right now, you're doing so for those reasons, because he doesn't have a lot of baseball experience. We've seen some of the decisions he's made, how green he is at the managerial level. There is a lack of leadership. There is a little bit of a lack of accountability in the locker room. There doesn't seem to be a sense of urgency. What changed between the end of the season and now? Like, what did you... Didn't we see enough during 162 games? Either way, you know, if Middleton had come out at the end of the season and said, I really feel like the injuries were a big problem for us this year. I think Gabe grew a lot here in this season. It didn't go the way we wanted to, but we're running it back. We're going to change the pitching coach, because obviously something went wrong there, but we're going to bring Gabe back. We're going to let him choose a new hitting and pitching coach, and we're moving on from here. That's at least a direction.
Wow, that would have been really cool.
Yeah,
if he'd
I know.
Said
I, was,
that.
I was listening to that, thinking, God, that would have made me feel really good.
I mean, like, I don't, I still wouldn't have felt great about the conclusion he'd drawn, but okay, at least you know, we know what we're doing. You know,
there's
the
conviction. There's
made.
A direction
yeah.
there, at
well,
least.
Half
I don't
of that,
feel like they know what they want to do. Well, that's what's scary.
Half of that is stuff that Matt Klentak would say, and I don't know if he knows how to put all those words together in that order. I don't think he
hates that there's a public component to his
no,
job.
Like, He's a charisma vacuum. He does not like to speak to the public. It's pretty obvious. I called him a turtle. I'll continue calling him a turtle. It's just really, like, that's what the GM has to say things. I don't think he's ever said an inspirational thing in his life.
No, there's very little showman in him. Like, it's very much just, it's very much just leave me alone.
He doesn't have to be a showman. Like, we don't need another Ruben Amaro Jr., but we need someone who can speak intelligently to the press and not sound like they're slowly, you know, their head is slowly retreating into their own neck.
No, yeah, you need to talk like people talk. That's what it comes down to, and you need to bring the fans along with you on what it is you're doing. And you know, a lot of the messages we heard from Andy McPhail this year were talking down to the reporters, and which means talking down to the fans. And you know, we know Andy McPhail can't really speak to the public very well. But Klentak is not much better at it. And
I mean,
great
honestly,
hires there.
This is veering into my Chris Young thoughts. I don't know when you wanted to get into that. Get into it now.
Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. Let's pay the bills here, and when we come back, we'll talk about Chris Young and the pitching staff, because I think that's the next place to go. So we'll step away. We'll do a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about Chris Young up next here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So we were talking about Gabe Kapler, and now let's talk a little bit about the fact that the Phillies fired their pitching coach Chris Young. We haven't gotten a chance to talk about that since the Phillies did that last week. Yes, I think this is something that this was the no-brainer. I think after that Athletic article came out, this is something we knew was going to happen.
I'm Justin, amazed it took that long. I can't believe it took that long.
Well, it's kind of a trend with
all things considered here.
This was more of a no-brainer. Chris Young was more of a no-brainer than Kapler. He had to go, and it still took a week.
Yeah, we're operating on Philly standard time, so we just have to understand
Last gen Phillies firings, they would be like, okay, but you can still come work in the office and like still be a part of the Phillies every day, because you're not, you know, you're fired from that job, but you're not fired from the Phillies family. And now it's more like hemming and hawing to get rid of anybody in the first. This team just struggles to let go.
Well, actually, what I read originally was that he was not coming back as pitching coach, but he wasn't fired.
Yeah, he'll be reassigned.
They might give him another role in the organization, which
I think is a good job for him. He sounds like a guy
who's talk to people, man. Just don't.
Yeah, don't talk to people, but give us the numbers and let somebody who knows how to teach do that job. But Justin, you were going to say something about Chris Young before we hit the break there a second
right.
ago.
So, I mean, you mentioned Andy McPhail and talking down to reporters, which is talking down to fans. And like, yeah, it's becoming kind of a, like different forms of condescension, it feels like, comes out of everybody. And granted, you know, hey, look, we're not all geniuses. And sometimes we do deserve to be talked down to. But it seems like this administration doesn't really seem to know how to communicate beyond that. I mean, Andy McPhail comes out as basically like, hey, all right, stupid, what do you want? Like, come on, guys. What do you guys want to hear from me? I don't know. I wasn't around for that. We have a Shake Shack. Matt Klentak is, like fearful and like wedged in the corner telling, I mean, granted, it was Howard Eskin, but he said, he like literally said ridiculous question out loud in response to stuff. They're just so annoyed that they have to be bothered. And I'm Chris Young, you know, that story from The Athletic, the one where at the end of the season, it talks about how he and Kapler were determining that number from an algorithm that was rating every batter pitcher matchup on the day, but decided in that moment in that Nationals game. And I was at this game, decided to throw that algorithm out the window, you know, the game after they had been eliminated officially from the postseason. They decided, let's just rip that page out and do what feels right. They decided to disregard that and just let Aaron Nola finish this performance. They felt like that was the better move for him. And then the ump calls a strike, a ball. And I think it was Howie Kendrick walks. Mm-hmm. So they yank Nola and send in Jared Hughes. And he gives up a grand slam on the first or second pitch. And there's this great moment where they say Young just yells, F you, at the umpire in frustration. Mm-hmm. And it's this perfect moment. There's just like it's just this indicator that like they had this great system that was definitely going to work, and it never worked. I mean, not that it never worked, but it didn't work well enough. It didn't work well enough. It didn't work well enough. And the team never broke through, and the pitching never really improved. And it just got to the point where they finally went off book at a meaningless moment. And he winds up just like it all boils over that moment where finally there's an emotional moment. He screams, F you, the umpire, for doing something that you can't plan an algorithm for. The ump's going to call a strike, a ball. ball sometimes. It sucks. I mean, it's honestly, the image that came into my head today, it just, the Phillies seem like they want to build these huge ornate sand castles and then just admire them and leave, believing they'll find it the next morning. They don't think about waves knocking it down. They don't think about kids kicking it over. They don't think about birds landing on it or jeeps parking on it or the wind blowing it away. They just assume it'll be there. And they come back the next day and are utterly flabbergasted when it's gone because it was just too perfect not to be there. So, yeah, I'm not really upset that Chris Young is out. It may be the only little piece of this we see get torn down for now. And if so, I mean, at least we'll have that. But at the same time, if nobody else goes, why should we expect them to hire anyone other than somebody just like Young or somebody who's there to carry out Klintak's directives just like Kapler or just like Young was? I mean, you know, it's just when you say that was a no-brainer, Liz, it's because the pitching coach means even less than the manager does in this role, in this regard.
Yeah. I mean, it's a no-brainer. Like, if the Athletic story is true, which it seems like it likely is, I mean, there's no way they could keep him. It really was a no-brainer more than any other thing because he didn't connect with the pitchers and they all kind of hated him. Like, Rick Kranitz was not great. He was the sensitive bus dude, which was stupid, which is why the clubhouse, I still believe that is why the clubhouse has been locked up tight ever since. No one says anything. Oh, I think anything.
It is. Yeah, for sure. And once that got out,
Which, you know, I thought it was dumb, but not like a world-ending. I mean, and you go back and look at my tweets from the time, I'm sure I was angry. So angry about it, but you know, it didn't seem like, you know, a world ending kind of offense. But he, you know, he connected with the pitchers. They liked him. He told them what to do. He knew he had done it before. Chris Young had just been a scout in the Astros organization, and that apparently was good enough for him to be someone who dealt directly with players.
Well, here's the thing. I mean, Chris Young worked with Kranitz last year. Young, in his capacity, was kind of a behind-the-scenes guy and was feeding a lot of that stuff to Kranitz, and Kranitz would be the teacher, the guy that the pitchers had all of the rapport with. But, I mean, last year, having Young in that role, I think, helped. And I don't know exactly how Young and Kranitz interacted, but that's kind of the role I think they envisioned for Young moving forward. But you're right, Liz, they tried to give him too much responsibility with teaching and dealing with people and realizing that, you know, people are not zeros and ones. You know, you've got to actually deal with emotions and you know, figure out a way to say what's on the spreadsheet and deliver it in a way that's unpackable. And so, I mean, here we sit now. And what's the, I think the other interesting thing here, guys, is, okay, so the Phillies are going to go into 2020 needing a new hitting coach and a new pitching coach. Gabe Kapler, if he does come back, does he get to choose his position coaches? I can't think that he would, right?
No.
I mean, he picked these two guys and they were disasters.
Yeah. I mean, he's got to be a part of it, right? At least a little
You'd
bit.
Think.
If he's still the manager, he's got to be, even just from an ornamental, like they just let him in the room and he's like, oh, I like this guy. And they're like, that's great, Gabe. All right, meeting adjourned. And then they all circle back like on Veep and they're like, okay, the real meeting starts now. even just, but they can't not include him. I mean,
sure.
This but, it would be, go ahead.
Oh, just say, but then who does the hiring? Who is it? Is it Middleton? Is he actually going to get down into the nitty gritty of hitting coaches and all that? Like, maybe he does, but even then, like, I feel like Klintak is still doing a lot of the work here.
Absolutely. Like, and you can't tell me that...
that's a problem, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if Middleton keeps all these guys, but wants to get in and, like, have his hands on, be hands-on in, like, every situation, it defeats the purpose. Like, that's not going to work. Like, you got to understand that. Yeah, like, that's not a resolution of any kind. That's just a compromise that signs us up for a third season of abject plummeting from the standings and failure. I mean, the passage that stands
the passage, future. That
passage that stands out from that Athletic article was the one that I read. General Manager Matt Klintak does not want to let Kapler go. Why would he? Kapler was his signature hire, and to fire him would be to put his own backside on the front griddle, and to replace him with Jim Salisbury was having an awesome time.
Oh man,
Jim Salisbury is just owning this story.
He's been writing some really quality stuff since the end of the season. It's like ever since the beats all got untethered from the day-to-day, they're just like, let me just take out my dictionary and all of my favorite phrases and get down to it. I love it.
Jim Salisbury has been writing like he's hitting his favorite diner in the morning and writing from the beach.
Yes.
So in any case, would be to put it. would be to put his own backside on the front griddle, and to replace him with someone like Joe Girardi or Buck Showalter would cost him some of the authority he had over the manager's position. I mean, that just tells you everything you got to know right there. Like, Matt Klentak's got a puppet in the dugout, which we kind of assumed, but like, that's more or less what we're saying here, that he's got this authority over Gabe Kapler that lets him exert what he views as the right in-game decisions to have. And somebody like Girardi or Showalter comes in there, he's going to be like, okay, F off, nerd. Like, I've got all this experience to fall back on, and I got this covered. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I feel like that's going to play a role moving forward. And honestly, it's not like we didn't suspect or know this kind of stuff. It's just kind of always a little upsetting to see it confirmed. Like that, this is just one big system that it all comes back to Klentak. So I think you're right, Liz. I think he's going to be the one who's going to be exerting the most influence on any future hires.
Part of the issue with the way the Phillies have things constructed right now is that there is no strong leader at this point. I mean, in other situations, in other organizations, you have John Middleton, who's not a baseball guy. You know, he's the money, he's the wallet, and, you know, he gets involved when he has to. But, I mean, you don't really typically want your owner getting involved in a decision of whether or not to fire a hitting coach. But that's what he did back in August when he insisted on Charlie Manuel being given the interim slot and them firing John Maley. You don't really want your owner getting involved in a managerial hire. That's not something you really want a guy who's not a baseball guy to make a decision on, that because it has huge implications. And you have in place a team president in Andy McPhail, who was supposed to be a big decision maker on this team. They're supposed to make all of these decisions with McPhail and with Klentak and whoever as part of this of this big conglomerate of decision makers. It was supposed to be like a group think effort thing here.
Man, why would that? I mean, I know you must be right about that. Just he's just gone so far out of his way to make it sound like he has been totally detached.
No, he's actually said he hired Klentak to make those decisions.
Yeah, but I mean, I think McPhail has been involved in all of the big decisions. I mean, they hired him because of his experience with the Twins winning World Series back before most of the people listening to this podcast were born, because of some of the experience that he had with the Cubs and the Orioles and stuff like that. Yeah, most of the people listening. I realize. Well,
I'm saying that to you, John.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. But anyway, I mean, so my point is, and you guys obviously agree, Andy McPhail is not a strong leader here as far as baseball ops is concerned. So it falls to Matt Klentak then to be the guy who's in charge of baseball ops. And what we are seeing right now is an owner who doesn't really think that his general manager should be calling the shots here. And you have a general manager who's put in place a manager where the manager is not calling the shots on the field. Now, this is the way a lot of baseball organizations are run nowadays, but you generally have a strong team president if you're going to have a GM like this. You know, a GM who has never really done this before. You typically have a team president who is involved, like Theo Epstein with the Cubs. I mean, that might not be the best example of a system that's working right now, but that's the model the Phillies have kind of put in place here. It's not working. Who's in charge? And that's what I'm keep coming back to. Like, who's in charge here? Who's making the baseball decisions? Right now, it feels like John Middleton is making the baseball decisions for this team. And that should scare everybody.
So this is... I was trying to think about what would happen if they fired Kapler. Because that means Matt Klentak is kneecapped and likely won't last that much longer, depending on what happens next year. And that's kind of why I think not that we had come to any other conclusion, but I don't think they'll fire him if they think they're going to have to fire Klentak next year. Why hire a dude for a year and then fire him, or, you know, pull a Mickey Callaway? Which is,
but here's the thing.
I think
you're right
they're
about
do that. I think they don't want to have to do that. They want to let's just waste a year and then fire them both next year.
That's the thing, though. They can't waste this
They're
year.
Going
they
to.
They can't waste 2020. They can't do
They've
it.
They've already done it.
So
here's the thing. I'm sorry. They've literally already done it.
No, it just happened. John, it happened while you were talking.
Here's the thing. Matt Klentak might have it in him, and we're all going to get a chance to see, because he's not getting fired. And if you know, we think that the direction the team has been moving, or that Klintak is not doing a good enough job in, you know, all of the various ways. And we'll see this offseason when there are big and small holes to fill and everyone's going to be yelling at him about them as loud as they possibly can. We'll see what he can do. But he's not being fired. And so that is already something that the Phillies are not doing. And that, yeah, that's a domino effect, as we've seen, because once Klintak wasn't in question, that put the whole, yes, let's fire Gabe Kapler thing in question immediately. Because if you're keeping the GM who hired the manager as his personal marquee hire, I mean, getting rid of him doesn't seem like an option. Which is why I think that Middleton is going around to the players literally to get quotes, to feed to reporters afterwards.
Yeah, no, I think that has some merit. I just also think with this delay and the fact that Kapler's been twisting in the wind, they've kneecapped Kapler for next year. How is he going to have any authority in the clubhouse? It's the player, everybody knows.
And it doesn't matter.
But nobody's not going to have any authority. Unless they give him a contract extension, he's going to go into next year as a lame duck manager, knowing that he's managing for his job. He's not going to, and you know what? The players may love him, but there's a difference between getting love and having and being respected by your players too.
I think the respect is just automatic at this point. I feel like they're just sort of devoted to him now, especially with this whole break. I think it's actually put them on his side even more, because now he's embattled and managing for his job next year.
And he cried in the postseason press conference too. But it's so strange about this. I mean, if we were talking about Dusty Wathen, who all these guys came up with, or not all these guys, some of these guys came up with in the minors, then like that's one thing. We're talking about a manager who has been with his team for 2 years, two very disappointing years. It's not like this is the long entrenched, long embattled manager of the Philadelphia Phillies who's been here for 10, 12 years or something. This is a guy who still feels pretty brand new just because he looks like he stepped out of a rebirthing chamber every morning, but like also because he's like seems it's just feels fresh that Gabe Kapler is here, even though he's been here 2 years, probably because they haven't accomplished anything different than they did before he got here. So he must be doing something in the clubhouse that gives everybody warm fuzzy feelings about him. But in such a short amount of time, you know, that level of loyalty is that's not guaranteed. So something he must be doing something right.
Doing something right. It's not translating on the field.
It's not playoffs. It's not making the playoffs.
No, it's not winning baseball. It's not winning enough baseball games. And really, that's what this all comes down to. And that's why this is such an interesting decision. Why the fact that it's taking so long here. I mean, I don't know. What you need to ask the players about here. I mean, because Middleton was with the team in Washington, D.C. the final week of the season, where it seemed obvious that he was in meetings and was talking to some players. I don't know what you're going to get from the players, talking to the players here at this point after watching two seasons of 162 games each and seeing how the team performed. You either watched this year and thought to yourself, man, the injuries really killed us. Kapler didn't have much of a bullpen to work with this year. So many of his decisions that he had to make were because of injuries and because he didn't have the personnel that he needed. He really deserves another chance, and so we're gonna give him another shot. And you make that decision based on having seen the season and talking to the players during the exit interviews, which normally happen the day after the season is over, not flying around the country to talk to players. That's what's really, really bizarre about this whole thing. Or you say, we had some injuries, but there's some stuff about this team I really don't like. There was not enough leadership. There wasn't enough accountability. We're going to get rid of the hitting coach and the pitching coach, and we need a new voice in the dugout. We need to move in a different direction. I just don't. Either way, whether you're going to keep Kapler or get rid of Kapler, waiting this long for more information, just it doesn't make any sense to me. And I think you guys, we all agree, the longer this goes on, none of us think Kapler is going to be fired at this point, right?
Yeah, I don't think he's going anywhere. I can't wait. I cannot wait to hear their justification. I really am so excited. I'm so excited.
God, I would actually rather hear that than him be fired at this point.
Just for the sake of theater.
Because it's going to be, the story is it's still not Bryce Harper. It's still, or any of the players. It's still Gabe Kapler. And it's going to be until he leaves. And that's why this is going to be, it's, that's why we're so excited to hear about this, because it's just, it's the most interesting thing happening with the Phillies, their relationship with this weirdo manager and his relationship with the players and with the fans. It's going to be a hell of a year if they keep him. Oh, my God.
And I'll just say one last thing about this before we move on to talk about the playoffs. We'll take another quick break. But, I mean, unless you guys have any other thoughts you want to throw in here at the end of the segment, too. But with Kapler...
so much time.
It's like the... I hunger for the focus of this team to be on the players and the play on the field again. I'm so tired of talking about the manager. I'm so tired of talking about the front office and the manager being the focus. I mean, Bryce Harper is the face of the franchise, but Gabe Kapler is number two. And before Bryce Harper got here, when you said the name Philadelphia Phillies, probably the first name that popped into your head and the first face you think of is Gabe Kapler. It's not really how it's supposed to go, you know? There are a few managers like that in baseball, but most of those guys have won a World Series. You know, I'm hungry to follow a baseball team and for this baseball team to be about the product on the field again and not constantly talking about the manager. And that's a lot of that is not Gabe Kapler's fault. It's just what people in Philadelphia tended to focus on from the very first game when he made the worst first impression that any Philadelphia coach or manager has ever made on any fan base in that first game of the season in 2018. This is still
all a part
of that.
And then he did something similar this year.
Yes. Yes. It's all still a part of that. It has not stopped since that first game of his rookie season last year. And I'll just pass along one other note. John Heyman reported here on Monday night that Gabe Kapler still hasn't heard from his bosses regarding his job. And Heyman is reporting the expectation remains that a resolution will come this week, though. Owner John Middleton has been surveying the players. GM and his staff support Kapler. Fans seemingly not as much. Close call, it seems, according to John Heyman. So that is where things stand as
Neat.
Of late Monday
I love that it's
night.
Come down to players and staff versus fans as opposed to, he's really been kind of disappointing. He hasn't been great, huh?
All that gracious. Stuff we thought he'd do, and he's not doing it. But I don't know, fans are mad, I guess. Yeah, this is way more riveting than a playoff run. I think this was the right move.
Well, let's talk about the playoffs next, even though it won't be nearly as much fun as this. We'll get into some of the Major League Baseball playoffs, let you know what's been going on, and we'll give you our thoughts on what's been happening here in the National League and American League Division Series. We'll do that next, right here on Hittin' Season. And we're back on Hittin' Season. So as we wrap up this episode, guys, let's talk a little bit about the baseball playoffs that are going on. And, I think the two National League East teams that have been in this still, the Braves and the Cardinals, both going to play a Game 5 on, I guess it's going to be Game 4 tonight. So I guess Game 5 will be on Wednesday. The Cardinals got a 10-inning victory over the Braves in Game 4 to push that series to a fifth game. Talk about a series. A lot of these teams, I'm having a hard time picking a National League team to root for because in the other series, you got the Nationals and the Dodgers. I will say I'm rooting for the Nationals just because my son is a huge Nationals fan. And so I'm kind of going along with him on the ride here.
Wow.
Yeah.
Honestly, John, you throw that son stuff out here like it's going to protect you. And I honestly, I'm sick of it. I'm just sick of it.
We don't care about your son.
That buys you nothing. You don't be ashamed of yourself.
Oh, I'm ashamed of myself. There's no way
around. Don't worry about that. That doesn't
trust
stop.
Trust me, folks. Yeah.
I feel
the shame will never end, but. No, so it is interesting being in the D.C. area here. It's and with Washington having fired Jay Gruden here on Monday, that's been the talk of the city.
Amazing.
Like, nobody's been talking about the Nationals here.
Or going to their games.
Or going to their games, as we were talking about a little bit earlier. Now the series moves back to Los Angeles for that one. They'll play a Game 5. It's going to be a great matchup. You get Walker Buehler against Steven Strasburg in that one. Strasburg's been unbelievable. So is Buehler. Who do you guys like in that game?
Who I like? I like the
who
Dodgers.
Who do you think will win the
to
game?
To win? Who do I think has been awesome lately is Strasburg.
Like, yeah.
My God. He's tough to bet against right now.
I want the Dodgers to win, but I feel like it's probably time for the Nationals. I think they're going to win a playoff series. I think they'll do it. I hate it.
I feel
it makes me want to throw up, but
The vibes are out there. It's
yeah,
true.
It is like after today, after they did what they did today against the Dodgers, like, and they have Strasburg taking the mound with Scherzer almost certainly coming out of the bullpen again.
Oh, he'll
no,
finish
he said
it
he's
off.
Not. He said tonight he's not. He said they asked him, and he's like, they asked him about the possibility of coming of pitching in Game 5, and he says, "Man, I don't think so. My arm is barely hanging
sure,
on right
sure,
now."
Sure, sure. Yeah, when
lying.
They're down by one and that gate opens, oh boy, look out. Well, what a moment.
The dude is, I mean, I don't like Max Scherzer at all. Like, he's a great pitcher, and that competitiveness yeah. is the only thing about him that I like. He's so competitive. He does not want to give the ball to literally anyone else ever. He would pitch yeah. every game if he could. And that's why I think they're going to win. Or, you know, Davey Martinez is one of those managers that loves to put his starters in as relievers. He's done it, I think, every year they've been in the playoffs. And yeah. he loves doing it. And sometimes it works great, and sometimes it blows up in his face. We'll see what yeah. happens tomorrow.
Yeah, no, I agreed with him putting Patrick Corbin in when he did in Game 3. That just
I do too, because it
did not work.
Look,
no.
man, you're going into the playoffs with those three pitchers. The Nationals went into the playoffs with the best pitching staff, I felt. They went in and they like with the most classic playoff pitching staff.
Yeah, certainly in the National League, for sure. Mm-hmm. The Astros in the American League have a better one, but in the National League, they have the best starting rotation, no doubt about it.
And if he wants to get his money's worth, even if it winds up, you know, exploding in his face like a firecracker, then, you know, hey. Cool, but like you got those three guys, you can just that wild card game. I mean, that was their big advantage, you know, not mm-hmm. just their great young outfielders, but like being able to just drop one of three aces in, just let them each pitch three. I mean, they didn't do that, but they could have just let them each pitch three innings and just wipe the whoever it was off the face. I know it was the Brewers, but that completely forgotten team we were all watching just a week ago. Yeah, so I got it. I'm with Liz. I think the Nationals probably, you know, it feels
so
like
so are we looking at
Nationals happening.
Braves? Nationals Braves National League Championship Series?
You know what? If that rubs that even more in the Phillies' faces, then so be it. You know, I actually welcome that.
Then the Braves have to win, because the one thing I don't want to hear is we let go of Bryce Harper and then made the World Series the next year. Why don't you all shut up?
Yeah, that is a narrative.
I want to hear that less than almost any other outcome.
Hey, you know what? I've been holding back on is we were making some of those obviously, you know, and this goes without saying, because not just because of how true it is, but because you know we said it at the beginning of the year, but there was some comparisons made to when Jason Wirth was a prominent figure on the Phillies and went to the Nationals at the beginning of the year. The Bryce Harper switched sides as well. Obviously, those players filled different roles on those teams. But still, when you're looking for a comparison between those two teams, obviously Jason Wirth was the biggest name. And, you know, that first year, Jason Wirth went to the Nationals and they got all really excited and rubbing it in the Phillies' faces. They didn't have a good year. They didn't go to the playoffs. Phillies won a franchise record in wins that year. Mm-hmm. And
oh, yeah.
And, you know,
that's true. It wasn't until 12. Yeah.
Deal was looking pretty stupid, wasn't it? After 1 year, you know, and that was you know, our fun little short-sighted ignorance that allowed us that fool's confidence we had after that year, because, you know, nothing good ever lasts. But we didn't know that then. We were having fun. So, you know, that comparison still apt, you know, still apt. And things change quickly.
How do you guys think Bryce Harper's feeling right now? Especially if the Nationals go on to move on to the National League Championship Series. I mean, I doubt he's feeling any regret necessarily. But
like an insane millionaire, I think.
Yeah, I was just saying, I hope he's just, you know, playing with his son in giant piles of money. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, with his new son, yeah.
I mean, I think like every player on a team that comes close but doesn't quite make it, he's going to feel annoyance and probably upset and be upset. But a baseball player, more than I think almost any other type of, you know, athlete in a team sport, baseball players deal with failure so much. They deal with failure constantly between, you know, you're supposed to throw a strike every time and a bunch of times you don't. And players get hits and players, they fail, you know, 7 out of 10 times, 8 out of 10 times. So they look at failure a lot. I have to assume that not making the playoffs is really tough, but I don't think he's all that upset.
Well, let's move over to the American League real quick, and these series are not quite as competitive. The Rays held off elimination, beating the Astros 10-3 in a matchup of Liz's two favorite franchises in the world. So it looks like that game's going to a game four, which they will play on Tuesday. And in the other one, the Yankees are beating the Twins as we record this 2-0. I don't know if you guys saw the stat that I put out about the Yankees and Twins in the playoffs over the last few years, but since 2003, this is the fifth time the Yankees and the Twins have met in the division series. The Yankees coming into this, they won two of the series, 3-1, and they swept the Twins in the other ones. So they were two. So the Twins coming into their series against the Yankees were 2-12. They're now having lost 2 games in this series, 2-14, and they also lost to the Yankees in the wild card game a couple years ago. So in their last 17 games against the Yankees in the playoffs, the Twins are 2-15. If they lose tonight, it'll be 2-16. They have to, I mean, it's just a cruel joke from the baseball gods that they keep matching the Twins up with the Yankees. It seems like every damn time the Twins get into the postseason, they play the Yankees and get either swept or they only squeak out one game. It's just, it's insane.
Yeah, I'm actually writing something about this for FanGraphs later in the week. It makes me feel nostalgic, frankly, at this point. It's such a, it feels so inevitable and historic that it's just like, it reminds me of when I was like a kid and watching playoff series. It sucks, frankly. I don't know if there's a more irritating thing than watching a very excited dugout full of men in Yankees uniforms feel joy. That sucks. I think that is one of the worst sights in baseball, frankly, other than seeing a man being tasered on the field right in front of you.
I mean, I have a lot of Yankees friends and Twins friends that I follow on Twitter, and
you got too many friends.
I have lots. Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know how it happened. Like, there's
these people aren't worth your time.
Yeah, but it's very, like, they are all so aware, hyper aware of the history. At least the Twins fans are. The Yankees. The Yankees fans don't care. They're just like, yes, another playoff series against the Twins.
They?
I'm going to go take a four-day vacation. See you for the ALCS.
Yeah. Twins are a gnat to the Yankees. Yeah. They're just getting bug zapped by the Yankees lamp.
I feel so bad for them. I feel so bad. The Twins had such a great season. I mean, and tonight they've had chances. They've left 7 men on base and are 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. And they have no runs. Yeah. Like, they've had chances. I think in the first inning, they had the bases loaded with no outs and couldn't score. Like, this is the stuff that will haunt them. Like, even more, like, all of those losses will have piled up. But when they see Gate, like, it would haunt me. I would probably not stop talking about it for years. Remember that game when they could have staved off elimination? Instead, it just did not happen.
Well, we talk about Philly series losses to the Giants and the Cardinals during that run like they were yesterday. I mean, that pain is still fresh. So, yeah, to be a Minnesota Twins fan is to know pain. Is to be in pain constantly. All right, well, as we wrap up episode number 325 of the podcast, Justin, Liz, any final thoughts before we wrap up?
Fire Gabe Kapler.
That says it all.
I got some thoughts on what I think should be final.
Let's hear it.
Oh, I was making a reference to the people getting fired. Yeah.
I gotcha. I'm a little slow on the uptake on that one. All right. Well,
solid.
Listen.
Another strong ending for your best Phillies podcast.
We end these things strong. We will have a bonus podcast in some capacity whenever the Phillies decide to make a decision on Gabe Kapler.
It might just be angry yelling.
Yeah. And it might not happen till January, so you know, just throwing that out there. But we'll do so. We'll do a bonus podcast and
just keep watching the playoffs. They seem fun.
We'll let you know. It's if anything happens, we'll wake you up and let you know what's going on. But in the meantime, thanks everybody for checking out episode number 324. Just a reminder to check out the Hitting Season Patreon. Become a $5 a month Patreon member by going to patreon.com/hittingseason. And don't forget to tell a friend about the Good Fight podcast feed if you have Phillies fans. And I don't know why you would. If you have friends who are Phillies fans and they want to hear more about the team, well, then send them our way. Go to the Good Fight podcast feed on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.